Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. For the first time since 2015, Greece was invited to participate in the informal meeting on Syria that took place on the sidelines of the ministerial meeting of the Global Coalition Against Daesh, or the Islamic State, in Rome. Foreign Minister Nikos Dendias, who participated, stated that this was a significant step, which marks the return of Greece to crucial discussions on developments in the region, with a particular emphasis on Syria and Libya. Vasilis Nedos, Kathimerini's diplomatic and defense editor, joins The Greek Current to discuss this latest development and look how it impacts the broader role Greece is looking to play in the region. Vasili, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thanks for having me back.
Vasili, can you talk about this meeting that Foreign Minister Dendias attended and why it's an important development from the Greek perspective?
Yes, it actually occurred yesterday with the ministerial meeting of the Global Coalition Against Daesh, the Islamic State. It was the first time that Greece took part in such a high-profile meeting since January 2015. Generally, we could say it's very important for Greece to be present in meetings that actually have to do with their regional developments that are closely connected with the broader strategic interests of Greece. So the participation of Mr. Dendias, it's by itself a very important development.
During the ministerial, Foreign Minister Dendias stated that Greece will continue to contribute to the Global Coalition's working group, working towards the stabilization of territories recovered from the Islamic State. How has Greece contributed in the fight against ISIS in the past? And do you have any insight on how Greece looks to contribute moving forward?
So Greece has always been a part of the coalition against Daesh. In a lot of ways, its security services were always cooperating with foreign security services and tracking terrorists around Europe. And we should also remind that in some cases, some of those foreign fighters fleeing from Europe to Syria or the other way around were also tracked in Greece. So Greece played a vital role as a part of the European Union, as a part of the Western coalition against fighting the Islamist terrorism that we should remind was exported to Europe with a lot of deadly hits in the previous decade. So this is one thing. The second one is in terms of principle. Greece has tried to reinstate diplomatic liaison with Syria, even though the Assad regime is not very positive in that regard. Greece is also supporting the territorial integrity of Syria in its internationally recognized borders. And of course, in that regard, Greece has a very different point of view than Turkey has on the territorial integrity of Syria. We should also remind your audience that Turkey occupies small parts of land in the north of Syria, stating that this is to fight international terrorism. So it's actually to fight the Kurds. So in that regard, Greece is also interested in upholding all the basic principles of international law that has to be of universal acceptance and have to be always put in advance of any other political discussion between the main players. So this is another thing. And the third thing, of course, is that Greece is always there to be a broader part of the effort to rebuild the country in a lot of ways, not only in terms of infrastructure, but also its institutions, its conditions of helping the population to move back. We should also keep in mind that Syria is a country that exports refugees towards Europe. And this was the case, especially in the years before 2018, 2017. So Greece has a genuine interest, a genuine national interest of helping this country to become again a sovereign and a stable country that could support peaceful life for its inhabitants.
Vasili, you also reported that there appeared to be a back and forth between the other countries attending the ministerial and Turkey's foreign minister, Mevlüt Çavuşoğlu, who was also there. What can you tell us about this exchange?
Well, I would say that the main issue was that Mr. Çavuşoğlu actually spotted his remarks on terrorism in Syria, mostly on PKK and the YPG, which is the Syrian Kurdish fighters. So, you know, in that regard, countries such as the United States, most of the countries of the European Union, but also regional forces, do recognize that the Kurdish forces in Syria were the main combatant against ISIS in the previous years. And Turkey is trying to portray them as something similar or even worse than ISIS. And this is something, the view that the YPG forces are terrorists, this is something that is not shared by most allies and partners in the meeting that occurred yesterday in Rome, because YPG and the Kurdish forces on the ground, not only in Syria but also in Iraq, were the ones to support the heaviest operations against Daesh, against ISIS. They were the main boots on the ground. All the other forces played an auxiliary role, except, of course, Russia, Russian forces, which, you know, Russian forces mainly had a task of keeping Assad in place, which is the case as we speak.
You wrote in the article, Vasily, that the inclusion of Greece in the meeting came as a result of the active encouragement and support of the United States. Can you expand on this for us?
Well, yes, of course. Washington wants Greece to have a more active role as a NATO power and a EU member state. And there's a pillar of stability in the region of Balkans and Middle East, North Africa region. So they want to see Greece more involved in any regional scheme that deals with promoting stability, international law. So in that regard, the United States supported Greece in its effort to be a part of that coalition. So this is one of the reasons why Mr. Dendias was in Rome yesterday. And this is why I believe that we will see also Greece being involved in more regional structures than the ones that we have seen being formed in the previous months and years in the broader region of Balkans, Middle East, and North Africa.
Vasily, I want to move us to another piece that you wrote that was in today's print edition of Kathimerini, where you commented in an op-ed on the broader public discourse that we see in Greece currently. How is this public discourse impacting discussions at the foreign policy level, particularly when we look at how Greece is formulating a strategy for the region?
Well, my remarks were mostly on how not only journalists, but in general, you know, social media, the political system itself, political parties, all the people, official and non-official, that are taking part in public discourse about anything. It seems that we lack the ability of being able to be level-headed on how we analyze facts and how we draw conclusions from the analysis of these facts. And of course, you already mentioned it, and I think your remark is very accurate. This also has impact on the way we understand the strategic environment around Greece, for example, the geopolitical environment, the things that are happening outside of Greece, but in one way or the other involve Greece as an interested partner. And one thing is, of course, Greek-Turkish relationship. This is one thing, but it's also about how we see ourselves in a region that we used to be a little bit reluctant of being engaged with. So many times we focus on fake news. We are a little bit late in recognizing what's fake news or what is, if you prefer, distorted reality. And my remark was mainly that in the end of the day, we tend to ignore very serious issues that are connected, among other things, as you already said, with how we understand the strategic environment. And mostly news around us, analysis around us are a mix of sensationalism and of purposes that quite often are not so innocent as they look they are. So I think that, you know, this is a huge discussion. I don't think we can cover it in just a single podcast, but I think that we are obliged to start being a little bit more interested on how we bring back quality and the essence on public discourse.
Vasily, thanks again for joining us. Great having you on.
Thanks for having me, Thano.
In other news, Greece unveiled a plan on Tuesday to provide greater access to certain venues for people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as part of efforts to speed up the country's vaccination drive during the summer. Venue operators can choose whether to open only to those who are fully vaccinated or those who recently recovered from COVID-19, or whether to also allow in the unvaccinated if they have proof of a recent negative test. People who are not fully vaccinated can still enter restaurants, theaters, and cinemas, but will need to show a negative rapid test, authorities said. Greece is currently carrying out about 100,000 vaccinations daily, but reluctance among certain age groups has been a major concern for health officials. Finally, a Picasso gifted to the Greek people by the artist in honor of their resistance to the Nazis was found in a gorge after a builder admitted to stealing the masterpiece and two other artworks in a theft from the National Gallery in Athens nearly a decade ago. Their recovery was greeted with elation, and Culture Minister Lina Mendoni said it was a day of great joy and emotion. The incident, which took place in 2012, was called the theft of the century, shocking the nation and leaving police astonished. Citizens Protection Minister Michalis Chrysochoidis said the works can now reclaim their place at the National Gallery, which just opened following an extensive revamp that began after the heist in an initial effort to boost security at the country's biggest art museum. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.